94.5 FM.
Another week of radio mediocrity, I guess. I'm having a good time. Brian, Jim, this is Kansas City. Was that better?
That's better.
Okay.
That is better.
Welcome to the show. This week, crime in Kansas City.
We're talking about gangsters.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Producing the effort this week is Sterling behind the glass. I want to give Sterling his props because this is the first time he's been with us.
Absolutely.
Sterling, welcome.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Yes, you were saying. I'm sorry. I rudely interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was. I love the idea that Kansas City evokes this image in the rest of America. Would you agree with that?
They do.
I like to tell the story about going to visit my daughter, who at the time lived in New York City. And so I get into a cab, and I'm driving. I mean, the cab driver's driving. I'm riding in the back of the cab, and he says, "So, where's you from?" I mean, this was the prototypical guy from New York driving a cab, and he says, "Where you from?" Kansas City. I mean, you don't say I'm from Mission Hills or
right.
Lenexa. You say I'm from Kansas City, and he says, "You must know my aunt." Your aunt? Yeah, she lives out in Dodge City. Oh yeah, sure. Is that Marge? Just dead silence. So Kansas City evokes this image to the rest of the world. It's nothing like that.
That were, okay, Toto.
Yes.
That were Dorothy over the rainbow.
Idiots.
But.
And that there's only like 10 of us, and we all know each other.
The history, though.
Tells
is,
a different story.
That's what this show's about, and it's brought to you by Kansas City KC Referral Network.
Findandrefer.com.
Findandrefer.com. Find a local company that's been referred and refer a company if you like their services.
Yeah. So you
findandrefer.com.
Find trusted companies to fit their needs
right.
through real, genuine
customer referrals. That's exactly
excellent.
Right.
So tonight, as we said, crime in Kansas City.
Crime in Kansas City. Now, a lot of people don't realize that Kansas City has some major, major gangster history.
And we're going to cover all that?
We are going to cover that.
Excited. Okay. Yes. Should we take a commercial break first? Do you need to ramp up?
Go ahead.
Here we go. We'll be right back. Probably recognize this music, don't you?
I do recognize this music.
What movie is that from?
That's from The Sting.
Who was in The Sting?
That was Robert
Redford.
I can't remember.
Paul?
No. Well, I know Paul Newman, but I was trying to think of the guy that was in The Deep, the captain of Jaws. Come on,
Scheider? No.
He was the FBI agent in The Sting.
Was it Roy Scheider? Is that his name?
No. He was the police officer. I'm talking about the captain, Captain Quint.
I don't remember the guy's name, the actor's
name. So now we're going to go all the way back for Kansas City history here. We're going to go all the way back to 1924. And in 1924, we're going back this far because that was the year that a notorious bank robber was arrested and sentenced to 25 years in Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary. His name was Frank Nash. Frank Nash was, he's noted on Wikipedia as the number one U.S. bank robber in history.
Most successful, you're
Most
saying?
Successful.
Really?
In history. Now, he was put in jail in Leavenworth Prison.
How successful was he? I mean, they put him in jail.
Well, you should probably see. He was only 25 years old at that time, and he was the most successful.
Okay.
Now, he stayed in jail until October 19th, 1930, which he escaped. And he also helped seven other prisoners escape.
On that day?
No, different times.
He had a little cottage industry going.
he had a lot of connections.
Okay.
So he escaped. And they finally caught up to him and caught him. The FBI did.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to transport Frank Nash back to Kansas City and then escort him back to Leavenworth Prison.
That's where he was going to be finally incarcerated?
Yes.
Leavenworth? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, he started out in Leavenworth. That's where he escaped from.
Okay. And they were taking him back to Leavenworth.
They were taking him back to Leavenworth.
Understood.
On a train. And the train arrived.
Union Station.
Union Station.
I think I'm starting to smell something.
Mm-hmm. The train arrived in Kansas City, and Agent Lackey was the chief agent in charge of the FBI at this time.
Got a guy named Lackey. Don't you think you know, hey, he can't be the one. We can't make him in charge. He's a lackey. Sorry, keep going.
He actually
I'm thinking of the movie Kingpin.
They had three people on the train plus Frank.
Yes.
Frank Nash and
only three people?
The train docked at Kansas City at Union Station.
Sure.
And two more FBI agents and two Kansas City police officers. Total of seven people
are now with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They looked around. They surveyed the area. Nothing was suspicious.
Amiss?
Nothing was amuck.
Okay.
Everything looked fine.
Yeah.
So the FBI escorted him out. Now they took him in handcuffs. Right.
Frank Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They took him in handcuffs out to two Chevy cars that they had parked right out front of Union Station.
Interesting.
This was on the east entrance of Union Station. The two cars were waiting.
Okay. I can see it right now in my mind's eye. The eastern edge of Union Station. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so the cars were parked right there. They
just
brought
waiting.
Him through the lobby in Union Station, handcuffed.
Big lobby.
Surrounded by seven officers and agents.
We got him covered.
They opened the doors. They looked outside. They surveyed. They did everything by the book, you know.
Nothing
amok. They were surveying the parking lots. They didn't see anything out of the ordinary. They didn't see anything suspicious.
Just outside the edge of their view, though. Keep going.
Well, what they did is they brought him out. Now, this was June 17th, 1933. So remember now, we're going back to June. This is like the middle of summer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hot out, 1933. They're bringing him out to this Chevy. They open the doors to the Chevy.
Suicide doors? I'm sorry, you wouldn't.
They bring him, and they ask. So Frank Nash starts getting in the back seat.
Mm.
He starts getting into the back seat, and this agent, Lackey, said, no, I want you to sit in the front seat. You're going to sit in the front seat. Well, you know, I guess after a little bit of conversation or whatever took place, they sat him in the front seat with the other agent as the driver.
Now, interesting.
Now they look around and
They have two cars, though, right?
They have two cars.
Okay.
So one of the agents looks around, and he sees a green Plymouth parked about 6 feet away.
Mm.
Now, when you were bringing and escorting the notorious bank robber.
Most successful bank robber in U.S. history.
In U.S. history out. You wouldn't let a car.
You got seven cops and 6 feet away.
You
less than a car's
car
length
park.
Away.
Yes.
We're going to have another car parked there?
Yes.
I got to ask myself, what are we thinking?
So they look around. Agent Lackey saw two men running from behind the car. He noticed that both men were armed, and one of them was carrying a machine gun.
There's a car 6 feet away, and it's got two guys in it with guns.
Not in it. They were behind it.
Okay.
They were behind it. Now, Agent Lackey had a chance. He didn't have a chance to warn the other officers.
Sure. Because
he saw them. And the last thing that he heard was up, and let them have it. Well, immediately.
I guess he got it.
Well, immediately the two police officers, the two Kansas City police officers in front.
Somebody's been shot.
They were dead. They fell instantly. Immediately.
Were these guys probably all carrying revolvers too?
But the open.
Oh yeah.
So the open door that was on the back side.
Yes.
The other agents in the back seat ducked down, and they saw another man with a shotgun and a machine gun on the other side of the car. So there was a total three. So they opened fire too. Now, these people, the gunfire shot out, and immediately everybody that was in the car...
dead?
In the front seat. And guess who was in the front seat?
Our robber. The guy we're trying to break out of jail.
Was supposed to be in the back seat.
And they didn't... Wait a minute. They're 6 feet away. They can't figure out where Frank is?
No, they can't figure out where Frank is because, you know, they opened fire and they hit Frank. They hit him. They hit the two police officers. They hit...
the driver.
The driver. All dead.
Mm.
And they also hit the Agent Lackey, but he did survive.
Agent Lackey?
Mm-hmm. They did hit him, but he did survive. But see, they tried to break him out of his incarceration.
Sure.
But they killed him. Now, they turned around and they ran. The criminals. Mm-hmm. The three criminals ran up to the car. They looked in, and the FBI says on the quote, they're all dead. So that they let's leave. So they all left. They took off, and they jumped into a car and headed west. At that same time, when they were jumping into the car, a police officer came out and fired shots from Union Station, a Kansas City police officer.
Okay.
And fired shots. And actually, the reports go that one of them did hit one of the killers.
Okay.
Later on, the killers were identified as Pretty Boy Floyd.
Probably using a machine gun.
Which you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a
big name.
Notorious killer. Mm-hmm. And two others, Vernon Miller and Adam Riccelli. Yes.
Vernon.
So this was all known as the Kansas City Massacre. It all took place June 17th, 1933. Where the escorting of, I mean, this is something that you would see in like The Untouchables or one of these, you know, old gangster movies, but it was actually true. And the bullet holes are still, you can still see them in Union Station from all of the machine gun fire that took place.
They're still there to this day.
They're still there to this day. Now, the two men. I mean, the three criminals that got away, they did jump into a car, they did drive out of the parking lot and headed west, and they did disappear, but they did catch them later on. Took a couple of years, but they did catch them.
That's...
So, Kansas City, at that Union Station, that Kansas City Massacre,
mm-hmm.
that's got some big, big history.
And you can go out there and still touch a little bit of the history just in the bullet holes.
You can see them. They've got them marked right there. I mean, it's
on the eastern edge.
It's really a pretty amazing story. That you've got the number one bank robber in the U.S. going through Kansas City.
On his way to Leavenworth.
And then trying to break him out. But because the FBI agent made him sit in the front seat and not the back seat.
Gone.
He survived.
If he had been put in the back seat, he might still be with us.
Both the officers in the back seat were alive.
Get out.
No, they survived.
Okay.
They survived.
So wait, when the guys with the guns, the outlaws, come up and they go, they're dead, they didn't see the two FBI guys in the back seat?
They were slouched over like they were dead.
Oh, they played possum. And Lackey, did Lackey even get shot, or was he also another one playing possum?
No. Lackey, he didn't have a chance to warn the other officers when he heard the guy shout, up, up, and then he said, let him have, and then he heard the, let him have it. Hmm. Lackey survived.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The assault, the total assault.
Yeah.
Lasted only 30 seconds.
It sounds a little bit like the OK Corral gunfight.
And that's been modified and changed in a lot of ways.
But I'll bet you that the Kansas City Massacre, there's a lot more bullets flying around in that 30 seconds than there were in the OK Corral shootout.
especially because those were what, Tommy guns back then?
In
33?
Sure. I mean, you said there was at least one machine gun.
Two machine guns
and a shotgun.
But the machine guns back then, weren't those the Tommy guns? You know, well, with the round.
You know, Bonnie and Clyde were using the what was that called? Bar. The something automatic rifle. So I don't know. Could have been a Tommy gun. I'm not going to say it wasn't. I don't know. We could go down there, measure the holes for the gauge, and maybe backtrack. Maybe we could find out.
Yeah, Agent Lackey was struck and seriously wounded with 3 bullet holes in his back.
Ooh!
So I don't know if he was running.
Why are you disparaging this man? He's a hero!
Well, he is a hero for making him sit in the front seat.
Was it him or was it the FBI guy? I'm confused.
Agent Lackey was the FBI
guy
in charge.
He was the FBI guy. Okay.
So if he, you know, the ironic part of this whole thing is that Frank and his boys all planned this escape. The escape was, put me in the back seat. I'm going to duck down, shoot everybody that's standing around the car, get me out, and let's get out of here and rob some more banks.
That's a pretty good story.
But it didn't work that way.
It didn't quite work. And Jelly ended up dead.
He did. Frank, what was his?
Jelly was his nickname.
Frank Jelly. They called him Jelly because he could get out of any situation. He escaped from prison.
He helped other people escape from prison.
Helped 7 more people escape from prison.
He had quite the little cottage industry working. That is outstanding. Okay, we got to take another break. When we come back, I don't even know what we're going to talk about. That it can't be any better than that.
Well,
could it be?
No, we've got some good stories.
Oh, we got some good stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
We do? Oh, we got a caller on the line. Go ahead. Let's see if somebody's got something to say. Oh, man. You can't hang up on us.
He wanted to talk Casey Massacre. He goes, is this what we're talking about?
I love it.
If yes, you he got
call,
scared.
Whoever's out there listening and you want to talk Casey Massacre, call us back after the break. We'll be right back. He actually thinks there's going to be a furniture commercial or something coming up, don't you? This is actual music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. You kept looking like, oh, what are they selling?
I didn't know that.
Welcome back. This is Kansas City.
Brought to you by KC Referral Network. That's findandrefer.com. Find a company that you can trust and refer that company back so our community can use it. And speaking of that, Zero Res, ZEROREZ, spelled the same, forwards or backwards, ZeroResKC.com. They've got a special offer right now, 3 rooms for $119 plus the 4th room of carpet cleaned free. So use promo code KC. You get 3 rooms for $119 and your 4th room for free. Now, I've seen these guys. I've seen them work. I've been there. It really works well. No residue left on your carpets. They are
walking in there.
They look brand new.
If you got socks on, it's fine. They're not going to be soaking wet. Everything's golden.
It's a really, really good method.
So, Brian, I thought since this week we were going to be talking about gangsters. I know you're a fan of the Coen brothers, and they did a movie back in 1996 called Fargo.
Yes.
It has now become a series on FX, and this year's episodes are set in Kansas City. Now, I can't quite get my head around the idea that Fargo is occurring in Kansas City, but that's fine.
Must be some connection somewhere. I didn't know that until you told me that. Yeah. I have seen the ads on the FX station.
The show's very good. I've watched a couple, 3 episodes now.
It's Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And it's got a pretty good star cast.
It does.
And it's a well-developed series. But I had no idea that when you told me, mm-hmm. and I saw Kansas City in the background.
Right.
So what is with that?
It's a lot of fun is what that is.
Are they bringing gangsters back? These guys are modern day.
No, it's back in the, we start farther back in time, but it's moving forward. We're in the 50s, basically.
Okay.
And it does have some threads to real life Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
Now, they've changed all the names of the characters. But, you know, Kansas City, if you think about it, from the 1900s forward, we kind of have a history of stuff happening around
gangsters.
Here. Did you know that Kansas City was at one time referred to as the Paris of the Plains?
I did know that.
You did know that?
I did know that.
What about Tomstown? Did you know it was called Tomstown?
I did not know that.
Do you know who Tom was?
No.
We talked about him last week.
Not really?
Yes. Pendergast.
Really?
Tomstown, baby. This was Tomstown. If you wanted to get something done... Forget the mayor. Forget the future president, because he had them both in his pocket at the time. I love the fact that Pendergast owned a concrete... I mean, we talked about, you know, the saloon,
yes.
but he also owned a concrete company.
Oh, yes.
And all of the buildings downtown, I'm talking about City Hall, Municipal Auditorium...
Brush Creek.
All of it was concrete that Pendergast's company, oddly... always seemed to win the low bid. And he was building everything. The Jackson County Courthouse. All of that.
Everything.
Tomstown. So they've got this entire show.
Is that what the show's going to be about?
They change everybody's names, but it's a couple of crime families. The premise behind it is there's more interwoven between these families than you might immediately guess.
I
wanted to talk a lot about some of the famous criminals of Kansas City, but you kind of pushed me off of that ledge. You were a little worried.
I don't want to get shot.
That's not still happening. Everybody in Kansas City,
don't believe
right
that.
Thinking. Right. This is a mecca of peacefulness. Did we just hit another record for homicides in Kansas City this year?
I think we did.
Man.
Yeah. So I'm going to...
So anybody who loves a good story, I encourage you, FX, tune into Fargo, and put aside the fact that you're thinking of a town in North Dakota. It's not. It's Kansas City this year.
Is the whole season?
The whole season.
Is Kansas City.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen the whole season, but based upon the way they did the first three seasons, it is staying in a geography.
Did it was it filmed here?
Oh, I've not heard anything about that being the case, no.
Okay.
We got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about more gangsters.
And we've obviously. Got a guest.
We've got a guest. You're listening to This is Kansas City. Do you know who this is, Brian?
No.
Coolio, baby.
Would have no idea who that is.
He played with Elvis. Welcome back. You're listening to This is Kansas City on 1510 KCTE, the ESPN affiliate, 94.5 on the FM side. By the way, we had a caller, didn't get to them in time, but if you want to call us and talk about the Union City Massacre, Union Station Massacre, Kansas City Massacre.
Kansas City Massacre.
Feel free to look up the phone number, because I'm not giving it. No, go ahead, Brian.
913-344-1500. 344-1500.
No, it's 491 Talk. It's 913-491-8255. You just gave them the number to the office.
Oh.
They're going to call, and there's not going to be anybody answering. You know what? That's right. Call 344-1500. Anyway, hey, I think we're about to be joined on the line by somebody who didn't have to call either of those phone numbers. This is Amber Arnett Beckwith with the Ghost and Gangsters Tour. She's a member of the Full Moon Productions team. We love Full Moon Productions. Remember those guys?
I think I remember her.
Amber, are you with us?
I am. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So tell us about, I want to hear about the Ghost and Gangsters Tour.
Absolutely. So, you know, in growing up in Kansas City, and for a lot of people that did, but then there's also lots of people that have moved in later in life. But I think being here and growing up in Kansas City, one of the things when we began our research in doing the Ghosts and Gangsters tour that was so striking was that you had driven by all these landmarks, all these historical elements, some of them very prominent, some of them not. Some of them could be just be a very simple concrete marker in the center of the highway that if you didn't know about it, you would have never guessed what it was. And so it was very enlightening to me to do the research. And I also worked with historians Pat O'Neill and Terrence O'Malley in creating the Ghosts and Gangsters Tour. And this was back in 2009. But it was just so fascinating when you look back at our history and how it just lies so simply across the metro, and you drive by it every day and don't even know it's there. And so whether you, and of course we were trying to come up with something too on the history side, because we love history, that wasn't to jump out and scare you in regards to the haunted attraction. But we have a lot of elements that kind of, as you might say, float around us that maybe we don't recognize until we take a step back in time.
Well, you may have been listening before the break when we talked a little bit about Union Station. Everybody, I think a lot of people know about Union Station, but there's a lot of other stuff that significant events happened around the city, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just in the events in the historic West Bottoms and what we call the original Kansas City, and in those buildings, it was, you know, a lot of manufacturing that went on as you were building there along what was termed the Kaw River and created the city. And we have to think back that during that time, there wasn't OSHA, there wasn't the safety mechanisms that we have today. And so, yeah, there were a lot of souls lost, not to mention the flooding in the area as well for human and animal. So just in the historic West Bottoms has an incredible history, and that's where our tour starts. So we start there on the corner of 13th and Hickory next to the Beast, and we travel up through River Key and then all around downtown. And we talk about ghosts, of course, and folklore, but we also then, of course, get into gangsters, because very quickly out of the West Bottoms, as you would date yourself by calling it the River Key, which is now the River Market, that's where a lot of the elements of the gangster history began. And so you can't really travel in that direction without touching on it. And it's a very big part of our history.
A lot of stuff happened for a lot of years.
And I,
one of my favorite all-time pizza places was in the river, what we call now the River Market. Just got blown to smithereens at one evening.
Right. Yes, just one evening.
It happens. Things happen. We don't know what's going on. It could have just been a gas leak. I don't think so. But
And
your tour, how long does it take to get on the bus and go on this tour?
Yeah, so it's an hour, hour and a half. You need to plan for 2 hours. And I think what's really interesting is it gives, you know, young and old alike a lot of history to learn from, to take note of, and, you know, gives you kind of a sense of the area and how it began. But, of course, you learn about the characters, the gangsters, the mayhem, the ghosts, the spirits, the big mobsters. And the politicians, should we not say.
And how close to today's timeline do you touch? I mean, do you stop, hey, we're going to end everything in 1930, or does it keep going? What?
Yeah, I mean, when you get into the history, especially over at a lot of our cemeteries, right, there's a lot of history that takes you up to World War One, the Civil War, and that's basically kind of where we stop there. In looking back at the history. And our tour also, so you rent out the whole bus. There's 25 seats. It's $30 a person. And, of course, we did this before, but it's even more pertinent here that you have your own COVID bubble. It's not just random tickets. It's whoever you're comfortable and safe with to get on the bus. So you rent out the whole bus. and you're able to take on food and drink. And so it's a really fun, enlightening kind of with your group. And it's also, it's audio, live, and video. So what we do is we partner the history, and you're driving by that particular building at that very moment. But on the screen, you're seeing what it looked like back in the tale that you're telling.
Ooh.
And so that's pretty fun, because just hearing it and looking at the building today, but being able to look back in time and what it looked like, we added that to the tour a couple years after it launched in 2009. We added the video to it and did all that research and put in those photographs, not only of the buildings, but of the mobsters and the politicians and maybe some of the unfortunate people who died as well.
Unfortunate people. Hmm.
Yes.
Do most people who come to the tour, do they already have an expectation of something they want to see?
I think some do. You know, my husband loves history, and so there are certain aspects, of course, that people, you know, just like you were talking about, learning more maybe about Union Station, which is very well known. But I think our tour offers a lot of non-focused on events that maybe you didn't know before. For instance, the Edge of Hell actually sits exactly at 666, 660 feet above sea level. And that's just a little fact that no one would know or isn't talked about, but it is extremely coincidental, don't you think?
You're telling me that the entrance to the beast is...
The Edge of Hell.
I'm sorry, Well, of course, why wouldn't it be? The entrance to the Edge of Hell is 666 feet above sea level?
Yes.
And that's at the front door to the Edge mm-hmm. of Hell, or is that like on the third
yes.
floor?
No.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a little spooky.
It is kind of spooky, isn't it? So we point out certain facts like that. So just very interesting aspects. We have a lot of course, the Wild Wild West stories as you go through Westport. We talk also about a lot of the churches and why they did what they did. We talk about, Annie Chambers, which was one of the most famous madams, and her elegant brothel that made a fortune right there at Third and Wyandotte back in the late 1800s. And if you, what you don't think about every day, but at one time there were over 40 houses of ill repute right within that one little neighborhood.
Brian had a question, I think, about the madams.
Go ahead.
What was it?
No, I was just going to see if they were still open.
No, dear, but you can get that on, Netflix or whatever.
Your shot is way gone. Amber, if people want to get in touch with you to be able to arrange to get this bus with their group on it, how do they make that happen?
Sure, they just call our main office number at 816-842-4280.
842-4280.
Yeah.
And are you, any truth to the rumor that you're actually answering that phone 666 feet above sea level?
Why, of course. My devil horn's on.
Outstanding. Amber, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing this stuff. We need to learn more about
it. Absolutely, because I think one of the other fun facts, a lot of people don't understand, Kansas City has some of the most number of haunted hotels in the country.
Well, like, really? All year round? I mean, not just in...
We talked about the Savoy.
Exactly. The Savoy, the Mule Box. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and the Hotel Association is very aware of that, but they have more stories.
Hotel
stories that come out of the hotels in Kansas City as anywhere else.
So, always a pleasure, kind of Amber. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Sterling, we need to take another break, right? And is this our last one? Come
this
on, we got stuff to talk about.
This is it.
You know what? You got something. You got to share, right, Brian?
This is Kansas City, brought to you by KC Referral Network, but I wanted to tell our listeners to support our sponsors, Zero Res, and visit the Peanut.
Ooh,
since 1933, did you go last
French dip.
Week? Did
had
you?
The French dip.
You had the French dip.
Sure.
They have daily specials.
Got right there to the edge.
This is the Peanut West, Right,
Phoenix
at,
West, yeah.
Right at mm-hmm. Metcalf 127 Shopping Center. Visit them and enjoy some great food.
And don't, you know, thanks for having Amber, you know. So go hit the Ghosts and Gangsters tour.
Ghosts
which,
and Gangsters.
She said it's 816-842-4280. Brian, you had some other spots around town, right?
Well, sure, sure.
Do you want to do those when we come back?
Sure.
Okay. When we come back, we've got a few more spots to hit for little-known historic mob locations in Kansas City.
I think it might take a little while.
Will he?
I think
Will
so.
It? Well, you know, we got nothing but time, baby. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to This is Kansas City, brought to you by findandrefer.com, brought to you by KC Referral Network at findandrefer.com. I got it? I got it.
So we've got some places, Jim, here in town that are little-known historic mob clubs.
Mob clubs?
That existed in Kansas City. And I just want to go through a couple of them. You and I can go through a couple of them because
this little piece of paper here?
A lot of people don't understand that there were a lot of mob locations where these people would meet, right? So the Last Chance Saloon was located near State Line Road and Southwest Boulevard. You know where that Quick Trip is now?
I do.
Yeah, so
I
where
know that is.
So that Last Chance Saloon was run by a mobster family in the late 1950s. Before the zoning laws even existed. Now, here's the kicker on this Last Chance Saloon.
Okay.
Half the club was built in Missouri, and the other half of the club was built in Kansas. So it was right on state line.
Okay.
So the legend states, when the cops would show up to the saloon to try to make a bust, all the staff and all of its patrons would just simply walk to the other side of the saloon.
And so out of the jurisdiction of whoever was coming for
them.
They
were out of the jurisdiction of Kansas or out of the jurisdiction of Missouri. They just simply get up and walk across the room. You wouldn't think that that Kansas and Missouri would go ahead and coordinate a raided sting together and get them. No, they came at different times. And they would
Why work together?
Oh, they're coming in. Let's get over to Kansas.
I've got one for you. Here is the First Ward Democratic Club.
Mm-hmm.
Stood at the corner of Truman and Charlotte, okay, which currently is a parking lot. On April 5th, 1950, the two Charlies, Charles Benaggio and his underboss, Charles Mad Dog Gargatta, left the Last Chance Saloon. Hey, there we go.
Uh-huh.
To meet some mob associates. I love that. When you walk out, you go, I'm going to go meet some mob associates. They went to meet some mob associates at another mob-run establishment, the First Ward Democratic Club. Why is a mob hangout the Democratic Club?
It was run by Tom.
Good point. So they told the other mobsters at the Last Chance they'll be back in a few minutes. They didn't. They never came back. Because the next morning, employees at the First Ward Democratic Club found the bodies of the two Charlies in a pool of blood. Strangely, their bodies were lying below a large poster of the smiling Harry S. Truman. The crime remains unsolved to this day.
Jim, what's the difference between a politician and a mob boss? Never mind.
One concedes one concedes defeat and the other one doesn't?
Here's another one. The Coates House Hotel. Now it's the Quality Hill Apartments, right? Located down at the southeast corner of 10th and Broadway. But the Coates House Hotel was a real mob hotspot in the 40s and 50s. What they did is the hotel would run, but they had a little convenience store down in the lobby of the hotel where they would sell newspapers and tobaccos and stuff like that out of the little the little convenience store.
Like you see in the movies, you throw a quarter and you get a newspaper and you walk away.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it was actually a front for the mob, and that was their drop-off location and their pickup location for monies that were laundered.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Just, I'm going to get a newspaper. Here's $5,000.
Here's $5,000. Drop-off. Get my newspaper.
Yeah. I've got one here. The Talsman Grill. Now, wow, it's now at the location of the jazz club, the Phoenix.
Oh.
So it's located at 8th and Central. Talsman Grill. Tallman's Grill. You think that was two words?
No.
Tallman's. Tallman's Grill was the place to eat for mobsters in the 30s and the 40s. It's also where mobsters would watch their race results.
Just like we introed
the Sting a little while ago.
Sting. So that's kind of what it was about.
You gotta love the way these things work. Everything is right there in front of you, and yet you don't know. Again, a lot like Kansas City. There's a lot of stuff right there in your face, and you go, yeah, but I really don't know what's going on over there, do I?
And there's some other Kansas City criminals, aren't there?
You know, can I talk? Do I have enough time? I have enough time to talk about one. Do you know who the most, we were talking about successful a little bit ago, who's the most successful serial killer in the history of Kansas City? Did you know that there was such a title?
I did not.
Bob Berdella. Remember that name?
I do remember that name.
The Westport Flea Market mass murderer. He had a booth. He didn't actually run the flea market, by the way. Great hamburgers over there. I don't know where they get the good meat. But anyway, Bob Berdella had a booth called Bob's Bazaar Bizar. Or is it Bizar Bazaar? You know.
And what would he sell?
Junk, mostly.
Okay.
In fact, he would sometimes get a hold of some art and then sell it and make a really nice amount of profit. But more often than not, he was kind of, you know, hosed up. And he actually was stealing stuff from other people to put it into his booth. But what he was really using the place for is that was where he found his victims. People would, you know, young men would come through looking for some kind of bargain. And he was taking them back to his place. He also took in lodgers, right?
Oh.
This is before the days of Airbnb, although I guess it would still be B&B because it was Bob and Berdella. So he would have them come over and then kill them.
After about 6 weeks of torture.
Yeah, he tortured them. He got off on torturing them for weeks on end.
Them.
And you just told me something I did not know. He would pour Clorox down their mouths?
Right. He would pour Clorox down
and
it was
because he was trying to keep them from being able to scream.
Right. They couldn't talk or they couldn't scream. They couldn't make a noise because it would burn all of their vocal cords out.
That's twisted.
Yeah.
It also, by the way, it also cures the COVID, I understand.
It does.
Yeah.
So you
got that going for you.
No.
None of his victims ever had the COVID.
Don't listen to that.
And they
do not pour
And they all voted satisfactorily. But he ultimately got found out because somebody jumped out of the second story window.
Third story window.
Naked.
Yeah, naked.
Young
down
man
the street,
running
young
down
man.
The street.
Yep.
Cops pull him over.
And they got him.
They got him.
Yeah.
Sterling, were you around back in those days?
Hey, we always... The law always gets their man.
Sure.
Probably not.
Or woman.
I don't know who Bob Berdella is.
You don't.
Berdella. Not Bordello. You're still thinking about the madam. he ended up dying in Jefferson City, still incarcerated, of course.
Yeah, in prison.
And died of a heart attack.
Good.
I did not know this. He had a nickname, The Collector.
That makes sense.
And the Kansas City Butcher. And now we know the rest of the story about the... No, we don't.
Kansas City has some fascinating history, and that's what this show's all about. Now,
absolutely. What about... Oh, can I talk about Bam Morris? Famous Kansas City chief?
Time?
We got time. We can do anything. If we run a couple of minutes over, what are they going to do? Play old Masters highlights? Or bring us back to Masters? Shut up. Nobody cares. I was thinking about this. Did the lights just go out in the hallway?
Yeah,
nice.
They did.
Bam Morris played for the Kansas City Chiefs and ended up going to jail because he was running a drug ring.
Really?
Yeah. Now, it's kind of interesting because he got, first he was he with Baltimore, I want to say? No, Pittsburgh. That's right. Was with Pittsburgh, got into trouble, with the substance abuse policy. They sent him to the Ravens. He went from the Ravens to the Bears and ultimately to the Chiefs, and he kept getting cut every place he was going because he kept getting into trouble. This was a guy who won the Doak Walker Award. What's that, the nation's best running back? Isn't that right? I think that's right. I think it's college football's best running back is the Doak Walker Award winner. He got caught in June of 1996 with a gram of cocaine and 220 pounds of marijuana.
On his person?
In his car.
Oh.
During a traffic stop. He was fined $69,000 and 420 hours of community service and 6 years of probation. He then...
Well, he got up pretty easy with 220. Yeah. Would that be with the intent to sell?
Well, you'd have to think. who can smoke 220 pounds of marijuana?
Maybe he
Although
was making
I know some people.
Brownies or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
Did he have a restaurant?
He did not, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
He then got busted again for drug trafficking this time and was sentenced to 30 months, but he got a plea, and he admitted to distributing more than 100 kilograms of marijuana while he was in Kansas City. And unfortunately, he violated the terms of the parole and ended up being sentenced to 10 years in a Texas prison. But he finally did get released in 2004. And then he went on to play Arena League football.
You know, we might have to do a
He's still out there.
We might have to do a little bit of history on Leavenworth Prison in
Ooh.
One of our upcoming shows, because
there's a lot of bad dudes that have been out there
and a lot of famous guys. I mean,
sure.
you wouldn't. I mean, you'd think that the Birdman from Alcatraz
yes.
came from Alcatraz.
Only
no,
Alcatraz.
He
no.
started in Leavenworth.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a lot of history up there. Yeah.
And it's Leavenworth, both the federal and then the military prisons,
uh-huh.
have been there for a very long time.
Yes, they have.
And they've had some really serious dudes out there.
They sure have. Yeah, we might have to do that. We'll touch on that sometime.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about on this show.
Yeah.
Now, next week, it's the Country Club Plaza.
That is.
In Kansas City.
That's right.
And everything.
Yes. Country Club
Miller
Plaza.
Nichols. Will we talk about Miller Nichols?
Plaza lighting ceremony.
Plaza lighting.
Ooh. We'll talk about the first plaza lighting ceremony.
Was that by fire?
And still the largest.
Well, of course. It's course.
Yeah.
Of course it's the largest. I mean.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
So.
I've enjoyed this, Brian.
Don't know what it's going to be like this year.
Thank you for the last
hour. Because of the
COVID. Sterling, you know. Fine work over there. And you took off your mask. I'm proud of you. Because there for a while, he was certain we were going to give him the COVID. Hey, don't worry. We still got Bob Berdella's cure. We could always just take a big old gallon jug of the Clorox right there.
Thank you for I was turned off by Jim. But thank you for tuning in to...
You had me on the edge of my seat, Brian.
This is Kansas City, brought to you by the KC Referral Network.
Go to findandrefer.com.
Right. Find a company, refer a company.
We'll be back in 167 hours, won't we?
We will.
Okay. Oh, my God. You got backup, Sterling. We got to leave. Good night, everybody.